Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cargo.
Cargo who?
Cargo beep, beep, vroom, vroom, bitches.
Oh my God.
Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids. We are bombcasting live.
You don't get to say no.
From the Bombcast Studio.
Sorry.
Because Bombcast Studio One. Bombcast Studio One.
How is it hosting your own show by yourself solo?
I may be too gleeful about winning, but I do think it's the better name.
Well, and so did everybody else.
Yeah.
So I think Pod Shelter got 2 votes.
Pod Shelter. So, Pod Shelter was sweet.
To the people who voted for Pod Shelter, you are true patriots.
Congratulations.
Yeah, but
here's
you're not
your red hat.
This is the Bombcast Studio, but if you say we're bombcasting,
I
literally will quit.
You can't quit. We're married.
I can quit.
No, I can quit this gig. Oh, is this a gig?
Yeah, this is a gig.
I feel excited. I have a gig. I have a gig tonight.
Yeah, once a week.
Mostly I'm like, oh shit. I've got a gig tonight.
The most consistent thing we do is podcast once a week. Yeah, so congratulations, Bombcast Studio One, clear winner.
Yes.
That's the plaque that goes on the door. So
we'll take a picture.
Every week, we're coming to you from
the Bombcast Studio. Okay, so here's the... You just wanted to move right past that, didn't you?
I did.
If you have never listened to the show before, welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Yeah.
I'm Bonnie.
I'm Ellen.
And we are your hosts here for I Shouldn't Have Had Kids. We are the moms of 3 boys.
3 boys, and you are off script, so I'm not exactly sure.
I don't even
where I am.
I don't even have a script.
We're podcasting for parental sanity.
Oh, you're on script, but I'm not doing
yours
a script anymore.
And ours. This is a parenting podcast, but to be more concise, it's a parenting comedy podcast, which means you can laugh at us and at us.
I'm mostly laughing at you
when we're off script, but you should never, ever see us as parenting experts.
Well, here's the deal. So I'm a writer by trade, and one time I wrote an open, and then suddenly it became like the open we do every week.
Yeah.
And I'm protesting.
Bonnie. I'm Ellen.
No, we're not doing it anymore.
All
but
right.
It was nice while it lasted for 6 episodes.
Well, because most days there's at least one. Okay, sorry. Can't help it.
It's just because
it's right here.
We wanted to make sure that you knew what the backstory was for the podcast. We are a same-sex couple. We have 3 boys. We're a blended family. She brings 1 boy, she being Ellen. I bring 2 boys, me being Bonnie.
Lord.
And we have 2 exes, one who sadly passed away about 5.5 years ago now. And so we have kind of the all-American family, I guess you'd call us.
I think that should be noted for tonight's episode in the show notes, is you are feisty today.
I am feisty today.
You're
it's true.
Feisty today.
I don't know why.
You're a lot of woman for me to deal with.
Okay. So
and I am trying to rein it in right now. You're just... But I'm like... You're off script. I'm freaking out. I'm the one freaking out.
This is the deal. We have 1 child who was trained, and by trained, I mean educated, Montessori, but kind of when it's Montessori, you are trained. Whoo-cha! That's the whip.
What is that?
Whoo-cha! How do little boys know what sort of sounds to make for sound effects? Do you remember that from when the boys were little?
Yeah.
They would just do amazing, and I would be... I don't, so I can't do a whip.
Well, bottom line. Here's my gun. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Pew, pew.
That's Sarah Palin's
I know.
Gun.
Pew, pew. That's so good. Sarah Palin, Tina Fey.
Oh, that's
either
right.
Way.
Yeah, yeah. Where was I? What was I saying?
Oh, well, you're probably going to relate my freak out to the freak outs that he has if ever we go off schedule.
No. I live, now it's just me. I'm totally outnumbered. I live with planners. What's the plan for today? And if we don't have a plan for the day or for the week or for the month, I live with 2 people who freak the fuck out. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you. You weren't educated Montessori, but
I wasn't educated. That's a joke. Well, you certainly appreciated my scheduling when I was your line producer. So I say, step off, bitch.
Oh, and there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the real podcast.
Yep.
Anyway, we decided that at some point in our lives, we needed to actually sit down and share the stories of trying to be good parents to three kids in a crazy world, because we know that we fail all the time. I'm pounding my chest. Can you hear that? We know that we fail all the time. And I'm pretty positive that we're not alone, because I think most parents in one time or another feel like they're failures. But we would get through it by laying down at the end of the day and over pillow talk, tell each other stories of the boys and just laugh hysterically, because they are kind of ridiculous, those boys, as most kids are.
Yeah. Well, you can either laugh at yourself or cry your eyes out.
We did both.
And I would prefer to laugh at myself. That's actually a line. That's a quote from someone else. It's one of the Indigo Girls. Just bringing it back. Old school.
Oh, my God.
You can either laugh at... Sorry.
And that was my day roots. The podcast died.
We're getting to my roots. No, that's Don McLean. That's a whole other genre.
Did you
genre.
Say McLean?
McLean. What is it?
McLean.
Oh.
I thought you said McLean.
You know,
like
I was right there with
SpongeBob.
It, though. Like that, I was so there with that.
With that comment?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so quick and clever,
mm-hmm.
Which is why I married you.
See what I mean?
Well,
feisty.
It's true. And plus, you're so darling.
Oh, that's nice.
There's always that as well.
You're adorable.
Okay. Just trying to get out of the doghouse because it's been a feisty kind of day. Did we have anything from the last week?
No. Well, we announced the winner of the studio name.
Yep, that. And, you know, I do have a yay story that
okay.
I want to share.
A rah-rah you?
A rah-rah us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Both of us. Absolutely. I was talking to a friend of mine who swears that she just does. She told me, I don't listen to podcasts. I'm like, well, you're going to listen to mine. And so it took her a while to finally, like, get around to listening to it. And she was like, oh. You said my name. And I said, why, Kayla, I did say your name. And she said, today she called me over and she said, I have to tell you, I now listen to podcasts. I listen to one podcast. It's your podcast. And I listen to it when I'm driving home every single day. I can't wait to hear the next one. And that really makes me feel good, because one, she doesn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Two, she is, 25 years younger than me, something like that. But she said something interesting to me. She said either you are raising kids, or you have been a kid, or you are somehow involved in a child's life. And so all mm-hmm. of this becomes relevant, and because it's fun and it's like we're listening in on what your conversation is,
mm-hmm.
I really like it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, rah-rah us.
Okay, well, I have a rah-rah us then as well.
Oh,
so
my God. Okay, let's do it.
I have a friend down in the Boulder Creek, California area who's mm-hmm. a big fan of the show, and she texts all the time with ideas of things that we should talk about. And she's married to a great guy named Josh. They don't have any kids, but her...
Amy!
You know, she...
Are you talking about Amy?
Yeah, talking about Amy. She was a kid once, and so she brings into, she will text me comments about, like, how a scenario that we've talked about played out between her and her mom. But something she texted me the other day that just slayed me was because she's been giving me topic ideas just out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
She said, you guys should talk about, you know, when little kids say what they want to be when they grow up. And I'm like, well, that's a great idea. I'll put that down on a list of, like, things to mull over. I love it. And then she continued the text thread and said when she was little, she wanted to be a taxi. And I'm like, waiting for the rest of her sentence to come through. And she's like, nope, not a taxi driver.
Just
the taxi. Yeah, which I love to drive. So I thought that was adorable.
God, that is hilarious.
Yeah, but people are definitely thinking about things and then letting us know.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice because, you know, we all survive childhood in one way or the other. And it's really great to get that kind of feedback. So, yay, I'm glad we could be there for you.
Yeah. Okay, so I have more.
Oh, you do?
I have one more rewind that came to mind recently it's too good not to mention.
Okay.
It's just too good of a story.
Oh, my God. You're laughing already.
Well, because this just kills me. So this is back to the gift-giving fails. And I think that we really focused on the times that we've failed giving gifts, you know, and there was a lot to talk about. But I'm not sure why, and it's probably because we didn't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but they're grown now, of why we didn't comment on any of the absolute shit the boys have given us. So here's my two stories, and then we can close the chapter on that. And these are quick.
Okay.
So this is my favorite thing in the whole world. If you think about the concept of gift giving, there's major days that we give gifts, right? Christmas and there's birthdays. And Christmas, I know it's a weird concept, but it's the same day every year.
Yeah.
It's always on December 25th. And you and I have birthdays. They're a month apart. We've got one in October and one in November. So in a way, like, you could think about, you have like a year, right? To figure out what you're going to give a person for a gift. That's a long time.
Yeah.
So here's my favorite comment that I get. And it's not too much anymore because they're moving on and moving out and have gotten a lot better and extremely thoughtful about gifts. But here's my favorite from about the age like 16, 17 years old is the day before your birthday. What's mom into these days?
This is someone who lives with me 365 days a year.
And I'm like, what? You know, like, you got to be kidding me with this shit. You have had so much time. You live with this woman and you're asking me what she's into. You know what she's into? She's into a son who uses a calendar. That's what she's into. Okay, so that's that bit.
Okay.
The whole what is mom into lately?
I love getting the gifts that they buy for themselves. They really want that little glass owl, and so they buy it for me in the hopes that I will go, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
Well,
no, that's not true.
Here's the other thing.
Their heart is in the right place.
Speaking of glass owls, we had a few years there where one of our lovely children, I'm not even going to name which one. He knows who he is. Bought you for like three gift cycles in a row bath salts and bath bombs. Well, guess what's in our bathroom, in the master bathroom? A stand-up shower.
Yeah.
There's no bathtub in the house. And you're tall. Yeah. You've never, ever once in 7 years taken a bath in this house, but you have a year's supply of bath salts. All right.
It's true.
That was okay. So now there's just one more.
Oh my God.
Nope. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. So, you know, when the kids are little and they're in kindergarten and the teachers help facilitate the gift giving and they will give you like a flower pot full of like
little
tongue
sticks.
Depressor sticks. And on it is like little bullshit chores that they're going to do.
Which
and
at they the time, never do.
Well, no, and they're four. So at the time when it's like, I'll walk the dog. It's like, that's super cute. And like, there's some lessons that can be learned there and it's age appropriate and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we still have one of those in the laundry room windowsill.
Yeah.
But here's what I don't like.
What?
Is when your son is 17 years old and he gives you that. And it's like, here's a coupon book full of things that I can do around the house. And I got this once and I'm thumbing through this piece of shit gift. And it's like tear out coupons for like unloading the dishwasher.
That's your job.
Or loading the dishwasher. Well, I'm going to make a coupon book of vouchers for you can live here if you do these things. So it was like unload, load, and then like back massage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this gift and I tore out all three and I handed it to him and I said it'd be great if you could unload, load, and then rub my back. And he's like, now? You're going to use these? I'm like, yes. I'm cashing in on like years worth of coupon books.
Okay, listen.
So now I feel like I can put this, got it off my chest.
And you've put one on my chest and I have to share it before.
Is it nettle tea?
I want to tell you about the time that we got breakfast in bed. The first time we got breakfast in bed from our children for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
That we hear them downstairs and we're awake for like, I don't know how long, but I need a cup of coffee. And we're waiting in bed because we know that they're giggling and they're planning. And you can hear Tigger going, no, Lola, do this. And they're kind of arguing as siblings do. And suddenly there's a little knock on the door. And in comes the three cutest little boys you've ever seen in your entire life. And they've got this giant tray. And on the tray
is a plate
and a strawberry.
An unwashed with the stem.
Unwashed strawberry with the stem. A carrot is actually unpeeled and unwashed and rolling around the tray.
A carrot.
And what kind of?
Like just a piece of
dry toast?
Dry toast.
Yeah, dry toast. And was that nettle tea at that time?
That might have been nettle tea at that time.
Yeah. It might have been nettle tea with that.
One of the
beautiful, beautiful breakfast in bed for
well,
the mothers.
Well, the icing on the cake of that breakfast that was actually intended for one of Santa's reindeer is that the nettle tea, which is actually probably quite tasty, was put into a thermos, but no one looked in the thermos to see if it was actually empty. So they poured nettle tea on yesterday's coffee, poured that and served it to us. And I took a sip of that and was like, I'm drinking vomit. It was awful.
And they're like, how is it? And Tigger's like, he's, you know, breaking his fingers off because he does that nervous thing. How do you like it? And we're like, That is so, so sweet, you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and then they wait for you to, like, eat the unwashed carrot.
Yes.
So expectantly, like, oh.
And one of them picks up, you know, the one strawberry and says, oh, maybe we should have brought two. You know?
Figuring it out.
That's right. But we do have very thoughtful and loving kids these days. They are getting very good at giving gifts.
We do love them, mostly.
And if this is your...
Mostly.
If this is your first time with the podcast, they've given us permission to tell these stories. So you can step down at this point.
Yeah, relax. Relax.
Okay, we are talking this week about traveling with kids, and I'm so excited because there are so many stories. I mean, we have to select just
a few. I know,
we're going
to have to be picky here.
You know, traveling with kids, it can happen on a big trip, and it can happen on a small trip within the state, right? It's all just a matter, it's relative. And I actually reached out to the boys and asked them what their favorite trips were that they can recall. They all kind of said the same thing. What did Shy Guy say?
Costa Rica.
Oh, he did. Yes. Okay. Shy Guy said something different. He said Costa Rica. So together.
It's because Shy Guy seeks sun.
He does.
Wants tropics.
He loves, yes, it's true.
He wants warmth.
Well, I'm surprised nobody said Hawaii.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, so they might not even remember.
What did the other two say?
Well, let me see. Lola said Prague or Hawaii. And Tigger said, oh, God, Prague. This is by text, because he had already said Munich, which was part of the Prague trip. And he said, oh, God, Prague, I take it back, because, you know, he's just a little chameleon.
Yeah.
But what was really cool is that they both said something that I had completely forgotten about.
What's that?
Tigger said, oddly enough, the first thing that came to my head when you asked were all the trips we took out and back to the soccer fields, especially those that included Toby the Red Ant or King the Kingfisher.
The Kingfisher,
and these were stories that... So when we used to take the kids back and forth to soccer, whoever had the duty, and sometimes it was both of us with my husband and I, we would tell stories and the boys would just beg. And one day I made up a story about Toby the Red Ant. It was a very funny ant. And Lane then made up a story about King the Kingfisher. And so all these years later, when Lane is gone and I had forgotten about them, that's what sticks with the boys when I ask about trips. Isn't
they
that something?
They both said that?
They both said that.
No way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said it on the... Tigger said that on the chat. And Lola said, oh, right. Toby the Red Ant is amazing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was a good... I could probably sell those books. It was a really good story.
Well, that's interesting because that's like... So that was before my time. I don't know either of those bits
stories,
other than
that
they are exist and a part of your guys' past. But... you know, it seems like Tigger's first hit when you said family trips was in the car.
Yes.
Times in the car.
Yes.
Because it's probably 75% trips we've taken in the car and then 25% trips where we're getting on an airplane.
Right.
And so he went to the car.
I like the car trips.
Thing. Okay, I think it's time to get real.
What are you talking about?
Well, so first of all, there's family. So let's just say traveling with kids.
Okay.
Travel with kids is the headline. Now, under that, you have many different varieties of car travel. Like you said, it can be far away or within the state. But even within that, there are different elements.
Mm-hmm.
So there's holiday travel.
Yeah.
that comes with all sorts of different stresses depending on what sort of family you have.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. I'm talking generally now, Mom. So don't worry. You've got to load your kids in the car. You've got to figure out gifts. You've got to make sure you're going to the right parent. You know, whose parents are we going to? Are we spending enough time? If you're a blended family and you have a family plan, are we getting the kids back in time to go to the other house? Like, that is an intense trip, family trip.
Yeah.
That's the holiday stuff. Then
But the kids are usually, like, all chilled out and kicked back and,
oh, but we're not talking about those little bastards right now. This is about us. So then the other sometimes in-state car travel, sports travel.
Oh,
so
God.
Like yes. The boy said, to and from the soccer fields, which is not a 5-minute trip. It's not overnight, so I don't count it, actually. I think Tigger's crazy. But let's say you have to go to the other side of the state for
a baseball tournament. Or for a music competition.
Right. Yes. Yes. Sports and the arts travel.
Right.
Right. So there's that travel. Then there's the, we're going to take a family vacation trip. Well, if you've got kids, like, there's a really good chance it's not going to be relaxing. And you're going to come home absolutely exhausted and need a vacation.
But, you know, I think we're exhausted before we leave. It is so much work to get kids ready to travel.
Don't kid yourself. If you think that you're going to take your kids.
That should have been the name of this podcast.
Don't kid yourself.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
I know.
We're trademarking it.
Yeah, right now. Don't even think about it. That's ours.
If you travel with your kids to somewhere exotic like Hawaii, unless you have billions of dollars, it's not going to necessarily be relaxing.
No, it's
just not.
Okay,
and
it's never
it
going to be relaxing.
You, if it is relaxing for you, who are you? I want you to reach out to me and tell me who you are and how you did it.
That's I shouldn't have had kids @gmail.com.
Because I don't believe it. Now, that's not to say that the trips aren't fantastic and a lot of fun, but I stick to this statement. Traveling with kids is exhausting.
Okay.
Period. End of story. Thank you, everybody.
And the show is over.
Yeah. Roll the music.
So I operate under the impression that it's going to be fun and it's going to be relaxing. And it mostly is fun and it never is relaxing. And case in point, I want to talk about our trip to Cannon Beach. Okay, this is so funny.
Okay, so let me classify this for everybody.
Okay.
So this is a car trip.
Yes.
It's to visit family.
Yes.
And it's out of state, but we wouldn't have flown.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's like...
It's a long drive.
It's a long drive, but flying, it just doesn't work. There's no airport.
How long is that drive? What do you
Six?
Think?
I mean, you got to get down across the border.
I think
and
it's
then
more like
head west.
I think it's seven, eight, something like that. Anyway, we're going to visit my dear, dear, dear sweet cousin, Sharon. Cousin Cher, as we like to call her, who is hilarious. She's got bright red hair and she's just a funny, funny woman.
She's a doll.
She's married to David. And David is an elder in the Mormon church. And we are a same sex couple. So let's just let that sink in for a second as we, like, Ellen has never...
I'm going to dust off my unconscious bias and roll into this family situation open-hearted and...
Would we call that open-hearted? Frankly, you were having a cow. But I didn't really... I didn't even know anything. I didn't know that there were any... It could be issues there, right? So my wife was... quick to tell me that there could be issues. And I was like, oh my God, well, you don't know my cousin Sharon, and David is the kindest man in the world. So we're a little on pins and needles because she's never met cousin Sharon and she certainly hasn't ever met David. And now I know that, you know, maybe I should be on pins and needles, and we've got the three boys with us.
Let me share some of my pins and needles with you because I have a lot.
You do. So we pull up to Cousin Sharon's house, and we're telling the boys, you got to be on your best behavior. We really want to make a good impression, and we're going to be staying with them. And
yeah, that's another wrinkle.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a hotel.
Right.
Because that's not how Sharon would roll.
No.
She would want us there.
Right there.
And that's awesome. But that's also, you know, for me, a little bit. Terrifying, I guess.
Intimidating,
yeah.
So we get to Cousin Sharon's house, and Lola was, let's see, was about
nine.
Nine, and then 10. Maybe we had 10, 11, 12.
12
Tigger was 12, and then Shy Guy was 6. So we get there, and
this is the highlight of Lola's need to have trinkets around him at all times.
All times.
So he has like a select posse of tchotchkes that he would have, and he would go through phases. And so he had his set of tchotchkes with him.
And he had just been given the greatest tchotchke of all. It was a giant coin.
Nickel.
Was it a nickel?
It was either, we'll find out soon enough. We're going to go with nickel right now.
Indian head.
Don't worry about
it.
Well, Indian head.
That's what they called them.
Is that appropriate?
That is the name of the nickel. I'm sorry. Native American head just doesn't cut it.
Well, I think it was just a regular nickel. It was just giant. And we, like, 4 inches across.
Yeah.
Like, it was so big. Huge. Like, you could fling it at someone, and if you hit them in the neck, it would kill them.
So anyway, he loves this coin, and we're like, okay.
It has a name, too, but I can't remember.
He gives names to everything.
Yeah.
And I say, just, you know, leave everything in the car. Let's go in, and let's, you know, I'll introduce you guys to Cousin Sharon and Cousin David, and we go in.
Sounds like Brother David.
Good night, John boy. I know, right? And so we go in, and we are literally, Sharon is like, oh, welcome. Come on, let's go on the back porch and sit down and, you know, have a cup of tea or whatever it was.
Sharon wasn't even there yet.
What?
Yeah, Sharon wasn't there yet. She was like out running a last minute errand, and David greeted us. And took us into the backyard.
No,
for,
Sharon,
like,
was there.
Refreshments. No, this was just David's, like, introduction to our family.
Okay.
I know you don't want, I hate, you don't like it when I derail your stories, but I think that's an important bit because this is like Saint David.
This is the saint in the family. He's so nice.
He's
so
fantastic.
Kind. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, trying to be real calm and trying to catch Ellen's eye. And I can't believe that Sharon's not there.
Not yet.
Okay.
No, she was just minutes away, though. He's like, hey, Sharon's not here. Come into the backyard. They had like a little spread welcoming us.
So we walk down these wooden stairs off their deck. And Lola is the last one to come down the stairs. And all of a sudden we hear it.
It's a blood-curdling scream. And it's like he's hurt.
Yeah.
You would expect to turn around and he's missing an arm.
And David, being the kind of guy he is, jumps up and he turns around and we all, you know, rush over.
And he has dropped the coin, which is big and heavy and ridiculous. The coin, ridiculous that he has it with him, has fallen down smack dab through one of the slots on the deck all the way down to the ground through this, like, top stairs.
But it's,
does that make sense?
No, because
okay,
it doesn't.
Okay,
so he's on the stairs when he drops it. He drops it down through the crack, yes, but it's in the stairs, and the stairs are finished stairs. So there's a bottom to the stairs.
Yeah,
so we can't access.
Yeah,
the
there's
coin.
No side.
No,
to like walk underneath the deck stairs and grab it.
So he is having,
that was a
literally
bad explanation
having,
on my part.
He is literally having a conniption fit.
Oh, he's having a jammer.
He is having a cow. And David's like, well, you know, yeah, it's going to be okay now. It's going to be okay, Lola. And he's like having no part of it. He's like flailing, and I mean, he's bright red in the face. And
he's going to argue this memory so hard.
He's a giant child, remember?
He was really upset.
He was super
upset.
And David says, well, I'll be right back. And he leaves. And we're standing there in shock. I'm like mortified that my son is acting like this. And
he's been there for 2 minutes.
Literally, we have been there for 2 minutes. It's been no more than that, maybe three. And he is like tears and snot and the whole bit. And all of a sudden, here comes Cousin David around the corner carrying a crowbar. And the man
pries up the wood.
Truly a saint. He pries up the boards. He reaches down, he hands him the coin, he says, there you go, Lola. And Lola immediately stops crying, says, thank you so much, and goes off on his happy way. And David rebuilds the stairs. And that was our introduction to David.
Welcome to Cannon Beach.
Aren't you glad you had us?
Here we are. That's the other thing. Like, when we arrive, we really arrive somewhere with gusto.
Yeah, we do.
Like, we're a big family.
Yes.
We banging doors and dropping bags, and we're just big. Except Shy Guy.
Yeah, who's tiny. He's itty bitty.
Tall, but tiny. The rest of us are just.
And there's five of us, which is why it's never, ever, ever relaxing. And that was like just the beginning of a non-relaxing but wonderful trip to Cannon Beach. The other thing about traveling with all of these people, five people, and expecting relaxation, they have to eat.
They eat nonstop.
They do eat nonstop. This is the thing that galls me, is that when you are traveling and it's already, I don't think they have a fine appreciation for just how hard it is to save enough money to take five people on a trip, any kind of trip. I mean, you can't get away with even like a camping trip for less than, with five people, for less than $500. Well, if you're going to spend 3 or 4 days like we normally do, I don't know. Maybe I'm just making shit up. I don't know if that... Why are you looking at me like that?
Because that's a lot. We spend that much money on camping. I'm never camping with you again.
I think that we do between the food and everything.
I feel dirty.
Because she hates
camping. Camping is supposed to be like dirt cheap travel. You're sleeping on the ground. If we're spending $500 and I'm that pissed off the whole time we're gone, now I'm having a jammer. I just dropped my nickel in the slot and I'm upset. What?
All right. Now, listen, can I make this point about it being expensive? When we go out to dinner.
I don't know. Can you?
Oh, shut up. We go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And we breathe a sigh of relief when they pick something mid-range, like a good pasta or, they're not.
Yeah. And don't think they try to order the filet every once in a while.
Oh, they
would
do.
Would it be okay if I got a steak?
No.
It wouldn't be okay if you got a steak.
When you get a job, you can get a steak.
Are you kidding?
That's what I say right now.
Market value.
But here's what they do then.
What?
They order their food and then the waitress comes up and she says, would you like anything to drink? And they intentionally don't look at us. And one of them says, well, do you have milkshakes? And so then they order the drink. And then they order a side. And then they order dessert. And by the time you add all that stuff on for five people.
It's also too much food. Like, I think that sets about it. Like, we're the parents.
Yes.
And we put the kibosh on that shit a while ago. Because now they look at us and
they do.
Are we doing drinks tonight? And it's like, no, we're not. Now, I'm going to get a beer.
Yep.
And that's simply so that I can deal with the fact that you are with us. So we are going to splurge on this $6 beer for me.
Yes.
But that's really an investment in your life, not being killed later.
You know, we have finally realized it, just as like they are starting to fly the coop. I'm so bummed I didn't know this before. So if you have younger kids or you're planning on kids someday or you're going out to dinner right now listening to this and you shouldn't be with your kids, I don't know what you're thinking. Anyway, You have to pre-funk, and by that I mean let me finish this thought.
Oh my gosh.
You just sit there right now.
I'm gonna pour some more wine.
I'm pointing at her. Yes, you can pre-funk by giving them food beforehand, but the other thing is to sit them down and say, here's the deal. This is how much money we have to spend. You can't spend any more than this on your dinner and no drinks, and we're not doing dessert tonight. We'll go get an ice cream cone when we leave, because here's the deal. Desserts at restaurants are really not that good. And especially if you're going to like a mid-level restaurant, don't waste your money on that. Take that to the bank, man, and go out and get a dilly bar something. Do they make dilly bars anymore?
Yeah, they totally do.
Okay.
Butterscotch is so good. That reminds me of the whole pre-funk thing. This doesn't have anything to do with travel with kids, but just if you have to go outside of your house at all and you have kids. Something I had to teach the boys is that there is a very, very big difference between the concept of a potluck and an all-you-can-eat buffet. So those are different. And when you go to a potluck, that's it. There's no one going to come from a back room and replenish. That's what's there. And so if there's a basket of rolls, that means like one roll for every person. So Tigger, you don't get six rolls and that's it.
You
get one roll. Now, when we're at the all-you-can-eat buffet, where we've bought you each a plate for $10.99.
Which we call the barfait.
You go for it. 20 rolls and all the chow mein. Like, really, let's get some of our money back right now.
Unless you are in a small little boutique hotel in Europe and it's breakfast time. I've never seen so many pastries on
all the pastries
boy's plate in my life. It was amazing.
Well, that was the first morning. They didn't quite know them. By our like sixth night when we were in or morning when we were in Prague, you and I already were because we're really cultured and well traveled.
But so smart.
The boys were like European breakfast ninjas. I've said ninja like 20 times tonight.
You
so
have?
I'm gonna come up with a new
it's a drinking game.
I'm gonna come up with a new
I'm drunk.
Word. Shit. We were really good at navigating the European breakfasts,
yes,
and there weren't 15,000 pastries on any one plate.
Okay, the other way we battle expense is by staying at relatively inexpensive hotels. And since Tigger left, we have done quite a bit of traveling with Lola and Shy Guy within the state or within a few states, as we do call it, looking at colleges and stuff like that, and going to competitions and what have you, whatever takes us, wherever it takes us. And here's the deal. We are so cheap because we're saving for the bigger trips or we're saving for something more important.
Well, because we just don't want to waste money on where we don't have to.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a hotel.
Smarter ways to spend money.
However, maybe we go overboard with that sometimes. And what comes to mind are some of the hotels that we've stayed at that are barely mid-range, and we put all four of us in one room with two double beds.
Oh, that's the worst.
That is the worst, especially when one of them is 6'8 and the other is a yard sale. I'm telling you what, Shy Guy puts his stuff everywhere.
Well, So Shy Guy is about 5'10, 5'11.
Yeah.
You're 5'11.
Yeah.
Lola is 6'8.
Yes.
And I'm 5'6.
Aww.
So I don't count. I'm tiny. I can sleep in the chair. Like, I'm tiny compared to what we're dealing with here. So we put the two brothers in a bed together.
Yes.
Well, poor Lola sleeps diagonally in his queen size bed at our house, but he can't do that if he's got Shy Guy with him. And
right.
Poor Shy Guy, the wingspan on Lola
is.
I'm going to get his permission and post a picture, one of my favorite pictures of him on one of the college trips we took with him, where he's in a parking garage standing under the 6'8. His head is leaning against the 6'8 bar. He is a fraction of a bit taller than what you can take, how tall your vehicle can be in a parking garage.
And you know your wingspan is your height.
Yeah, so they're in bed together, and then we're normal. It's not a problem. But think about that size, four of us navigating a room. And you know hotel rooms where the end of the bed, there's like 3 feet between the end of the bed and the wall.
Yeah, so we're stepping over giant piles of crap created by
how any of this is relaxing or fun.
No, this is not fun. This
no,
is
it sends me down to the AM/PM for booze.
I'm having, like, my Apple Watch is telling me right now that I'm having a heart attack.
Oh, we must be watching a football game.
That's right. And the other thing about that is when you stay in one of those hotels, is one of the reasons why we sometimes book them is because the boys eat so much and you have a hotel breakfast that's free of charge. But even the oatmeal is crap in those breakfasts. You know what I'm talking about? So
it's out of a package. The worst, though, ever. I don't know if you have this down in your notes. I'm going to jog your memory here a little bit.
But
get ready for it.
Okay.
The hotel we stayed in. At the
baseball tournament. Yes!
On the river.
And we're still alive.
We're talking, I exaggerate and blow a lot of smoke. To be funny, this is not a joke. It was literally a drug hotel.
It was.
Like, there were long-term tenants who were living there.
People were coming
out.
And going.
There were people in the hallway who were high as kites. And this is where one of the baseball moms on a different team booked a room block for our team. I call bullshit on that.
Yes.
I say that was absolutely to fuck us up.
Yes.
I do not like them.
I said something, and you know what the coach on the other team said?
He said, it's not a conspiracy.
I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, well, guess what?
I slept with the needles last night.
You
tell me it's not a
conspiracy.
Yes.
Because that's the weirdest thing for you to say.
I know.
So,
okay, I didn't say fuck you, but boy, I wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Had to clarify.
Yeah. Anyway, so total drug hotel. Absolutely awful. We, however, lucked out because, like, the second morning at breakfast, 3/4 of our team was completely dealing with bed bugs and head bites all over their bodies.
Oh, my God.
I know.
So bad. I
that is, like, squirm city.
I know.
Like, we checked as soon as, like, when they did not do well in the tournament, and I was like, thank God. Thank God.
Let's get out of here.
Out of here. It was absolutely awful. And that is a long drive from where we live. And we went home and took scalding hot showers.
Oh, speaking of scalding hot showers, when you share a bathroom with three other people in a hotel room, two of them being stinky teenagers.
Well, that's another rule. Here's really good family advice. You probably already follow this. If you have teenage boys,
they go second.
Yeah,
last.
If you have husbands. Or you have wives who've had too much taco time. If you gotta go, you go down and use the lobby bathroom.
Yeah, you don't ever use the room.
You don't get
bathroom.
To use the room bathroom.
Mm-mm.
And there's no, oh, I didn't know I had to go. No. No.
You plan it.
Go take a room key and you get the fuck out of here.
Okay, the one exception to staying in a hotel room with four people and two double beds is my favorite hotel in the entire world. Okay, it's not my favorite hotel.
I'm
but
on the edge of my seat. Where?
The Cedar Brook Lodge. I love me some Cedar Brook Lodge. This
nice.
Is a, for those of you who have not been there and you're not from the Seattle area,
definitely.
It's this big, beautiful piece of property. It used to belong to Washington Mutual. That's where they entertain their executives who would fly into SeaTac, and it's right across the street from SeaTac. And so it is a gorgeous
and
hotel.
You're plugging them why?
I'm plugging them because, okay, no, they have no sponsors. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, you're doing a Cedarbrook ad.
Well, here's what's so cool about it. Even though there are two beds for four people to sleep in, they've got these little living room areas. Mm-hmm. And in the living room areas, there are refrigerators. And in the refrigerators, there is water, and there's yogurt, and there's string cheese. And in the freezer, there's ice cream. And on the counter, in the glass bowl,
oh my God,
there are malt balls. Oh, chocolate.
Malt balls.
Chocolate malt balls. So it is the best place to take kids because if they're in your grill, you can just say, go get a malt ball and don't come back.
Yeah, go sit in the living room. You're right. That is a really good spot for this area.
And a really good breakfast. It's close to the SeaTac.
No, and here's the other thing, too, is if here's more really good advice.
Let's do it.
Cedarbrook Hotel, a night at the Cedarbrook Hotel, mm-hmm. and we've stayed there five or six times mm-hmm. in order to take early morning flights. It does not cost any more than the Holiday Inn across from SeaTac. It doesn't, period.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't cost any more. And it's microfiber sheets or bamboo or something. It had the Cedarbrook, so.
The other thing about the Cedarbrook is that it has the best breakfast, and that's why I really love it. It is a Pacific Northwest farm-to-table breakfast.
We're talking
like
lox
God.
And capers and bagels,
delicious.
And that's their like continental. So there's no prefab oatmeal or whatever.
prefab oatmeal.
Yeah, well, that's so funny at those little, and everyone knows what I'm talking about. Those little stupid like Holiday Inn Express lobbies,
with the,
and there's
the ladle and
there's a ladle, and it's like looks like a vat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we cooked it in this.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's Insta.
You go fuck yourself. It was in a big, I've seen it. It's in like a big plastic bag.
Oh, gross.
They just drop it in there. And and that warms it up. It's made. There's literally nothing they're making.
That's why it's like paste.
It all arrives. It's like a kit.
Yes.
And it's dated and it comes out and it gets set up.
Mm-hmm. Somehow there's horses that were a part of the equation.
Yeah, but kids love it. That waffle maker.
Oh,
the waffles.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
Hey, I have an idea about how to save money going forward if we ever travel as a family of five internationally again.
Okay.
And I'm saying this out loud to my wife, but I'm really saying it to you, because if you're planning a trip like this, I think that this is a brilliant idea. You stay in the hotel, and you know where the kids stay?
In the car.
No, this is international.
At home?
At the hostel.
Oh.
No, but staying at the hostel taught
me. How old are the kids?
Much. Teenagers.
Ah, if they're as old as ours are now, but any younger, there's no way.
No, they have to be.
Well, I'd be just sending them straight into a hostel environment.
Hey! That is so bad.
No, it's not.
It's hurting my head. It is.
Well, so here's the deal, though.
What?
About all this money saving.
Mm.
It sounds really great, but we don't end up saving it. You want to know where it goes?
Where?
It goes into the premium seat that we have to buy Lola because he actually doesn't fit in coach.
Or into the rental cost of a rental car.
Yeah,
because
I'm not talking about
like a small car.
Oh, he's not comfortable. He physically
does not fit.
Can't sit down in a coach seat.
That's right.
Like it doesn't happen.
Do you remember when
we have to put him in exit row or the.
Yeah,
I mean,
it costs money.
Totally monetized that.
Yeah, that's not fair.
There should be some sort of button of like, I have a man child. I have an abnormally tall 15-year-old. because he's for so long, like now he's, you know,
he's 19.
He's 19. Okay, so fine. Like, you know, you got to pay. But it just felt not right when he was a youngster.
A youngster back when I was.
Yeah. And we're like sticking him up in business class with all these uptight guys, and he's like, "What's up?" I want to just stretch out because not only is he tall, he's got giant feet, so he's just like spread eagle in the front with all the pinstripes.
And he gives no fucks. I'm not kidding you. He sits down.
Oh no, he wants what's coming to him. Like,
this is why we call him Lola.
Yeah, I'm gonna recline. I'm gonna stick my legs out.
Yes,
I want the peanuts and I want the drink and the can.
And how about the pretzels as well? As long as you are you gonna eat those? I can just see it.
Like, yeah.
Do you remember when we were traveling by train and we finally got on into the right car and into our compartment, and it seats six people, and there were five of us, and we had one seat left, and so it's I'm facing Shy Guy, and Ellen.
Yes, I totally remember this, but I want to give the people a fighting chance.
Okay.
This is a European train car.
Yeah.
This is a compartment with six seats, three facing three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now everyone knows what you're talking about.
I kind of think I said that, but that's cool.
Did you?
I did.
Well, I guess I was tuning you out.
And the nice thing is
art
that I recorded
imitates
it.
Life. Okay, let me go back to tuning you out. Continue.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so...
Sorry.
Okay, I'm facing Shy Guy. She's facing Tigger. And that way, we've got Lola, who's sitting by the door, so that he has the room for his legs, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's untenable.
And well, his knees are touching the other
yes.
seat.
And then the door opens. And there is a very tall guy standing there, and he looks at our luggage, which is taking up every single rack yeah, in that
each
thing.
Of us has a large suitcase.
Yes.
And a backpack.
And I think he might have dropped a swear or two, didn't he?
Oh, I'm sure, in German. Yeah, yeah. He was super frustrated.
He was so mad. And my hackles go up because, like, he's irritated that Lola is so large, that he's so taking up so much room, and that we've taken up all the space for luggage. And I'm just about to get all feisty on his ass. And my wife saves the day.
Well, yeah. So Tigger and I are really gentle souls.
Much
really,
nicer.
We're peace, love, and hippies. And so we immediately jumped up and started rearranging luggage and switching with Lola to make room and do the best we can. And really in earnest, like honestly, we wanted him to fit. That was his seat.
Yeah.
And that guy, he's
melted.
He cocked his head and he looked at us and he was like, oh my God, like you guys are seriously trying to fit me in
work.
Here. And he just kind of put his hands up like, okay, hang on. And then the woman, I don't know, train conductor
yep.
gal came up. Well, here's the thing that Bonnie's not telling you about this train trip, because this is a podcast today about traveling with kids, but I'm going to do one in a little bit called Traveling with Bonnie, which is a special podcast. It's hosted by Rick Steves. He's going to talk to you about travel with Bonnie. So she booked us, it turns out, two compartments within this train car. Oh, she's holding up three fingers. She booked us three compartments.
I was confused. It was not in English.
Well, yeah. And also, the scheduling, the reservation system told you that it was too soon.
Oh,
so
yes,
so you
that's
exited
right.
out. And
yes.
then you tried again a couple weeks later, and it said too soon. So you exited out. And then it said, okay, yes, accepted. Well, it had accepted all of them.
Yes, and charged
so
me for all
So we had... three compartments all to ourselves. But in Europe, if you've traveled to Europe and you've been on trains, you might know this. It's yes, there's a list like reserved, but it's also if there's no one sitting in that seat, you sit in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then if someone can come by and prove it's theirs, you have to move. And that's how it all started for us in this compartment. But we had explained to the lady what we had done. And so she told this German gentleman, hey, basically, these American dumbasses have already reserved the two cabins right next to here. So let me get you one of their other 18 seats that are free. Actually, I guess it's only 12 that were free. So he was really moved, I think, by how we were just like, we
how
will
dumb
make
we were.
This work, man. We don't have to speak the same language because we are one people. We were ready to go. Yeah. Well, this reminds me of the lady when we got on the train. First of all, there was a young woman in the cabin. It was like completely empty except this one woman, these two women, and a German woman who was older and a young woman. And the German gal showed us her ticket. And yes, she was supposed to be in the cabin, but the young woman was not. And you were like, get the fuck out.
I didn't say that.
I mean, and she was like, humph, like a cartoon character, like pew pew. She was like so frustrated with you. But anyway, we got in the cabin and the first leg of this journey from, we were going to from Munich to Prague, and so for about the first hour, no, that's a lie. We were going from Prague
to Munich
to Berlin.
Oh God, right.
From Prague to Berlin, and we were with this Fräulein, this lovely Fräulein, who was reading a magazine and not speaking to us at all. But at one point, she looked at Tigger and pointed to this absolutely horrifying looking abscess, raised, hot, awful thing on his leg. Pointed at it and was telling us it was a bug bite.
Yeah, she was like making her little fingernails come together, like, going,
like, you got a bug bite. He's like, no, it's heat rash. Well, let me tell you what happened.
It was a bug bite.
It was a bug bite because we don't know for sure if this is how it happened, but I'm pretty sure this is how it happened. And after Lola listens to this and Shy Guy listens to this, they're going to agree with me.
Yes.
So we were in Prague. And this is why you just shouldn't travel with your children. We were in Prague And we're walking around, and there's a lot of street performers in Prague who are counting on tourists to engage with them and whatever it is that they are doing on the street as their art.
Well, can I just say one thing before we get into it? Yeah, I'm going to. What you have to understand about Tigger is that he is very, very nice, but he's also the second most gullible person in the entire world besides my wife.
That's not very nice.
What?
What, me?
That was awesome. I wish you could have seen your face.
We're
yes.
earnest. You we believe in people.
You do believe
we
in
believe
people.
We believe in people's yes. best intentions.
Yes. Okay. So there you have it.
And you're horrible.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, what happens with the street artists is if you do engage with them or you take their picture, they want compensation, and that's fair.
And as seasoned travelers, we know that, right? And I think that probably, I think Lola knew it, and I think Shy Guy knew it as well, but it turns out that Tigger didn't.
Well, it's not always super obvious. Like, you've seen the people who are in the middle of, like, a town square, and they're holding themselves like a statue, and they're dressed.
They're spray-painted gold.
Yeah, or they're green, and they're the Statue of Liberty, and then they, like, move and do some sort of really sick, like, dance move, and then they pause again. You got to throw some crowns in their cap. Like, that's what you do. Well, so we're walking through a park, and there is a kid with an exotic bird in a cat cage. And he wants people to stop and engage with him and, like, look at the bird. And we want to move on because we don't want to engage with him and the bird because we know he's expecting compensation. So we all move on. We don't, you know, we all see that that's not what we want to do. But Tigger wants to see the bird. So he stops and the guy takes the bird out. And it's a very dirty looking bird. It's supposed to be white, but it's like not white. It's like smoky gray.
Yeah. You think it is actually gray, but then you see it. It like flaps its wings and you're like, and oh, for love of God, it's a
big,
white bird.
Yeah. It's a big bird. And so he puts it like on Tigger's finger and he gets to hold it and he's petting the bird. And then he wants his picture taken with the bird. So the kid takes the picture with the bird and then he gives the bird back and he's like, thanks so much. And he goes to leave. And the kid is like, wait, hang on. I want 100 crowns. And that's it's not a huge chunk of change, but when you've only got a few in your pocket and you're a kid tourist, that's a lot of money. And so Tigger's like, whoa, okay, and gives it to him and walks up to us looking all sheepish because he realizes he just was absolutely had. But here's what I think that bird gave him as a long-lasting souvenir is some little ticky sort of thing dropped off that bird and bit him on the thigh, and he dealt with a welt the size of, I mean, it was probably 8 inches around on his leg.
Oh, I don't think it was that big. I think it was like this big, but it was gross.
Oh, it was like
so
spread
red
up
and
his
raised.
Thigh. This big? You're telling me it was this big.
It's this big. Can you see
Can
that?
Can you see that? It was okay. this big. So this the German woman knew.
This is what I remember about the story, which is kind of the same, except that from my perspective, we walk past this guy and I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, he's like, you want to see the bird? And he holds out the bird and I'm thinking, ew, no, ew, David. And so we walk by and we're talking and chatting and all of a sudden I look around and I'm like, where's Tigger? And we all as one turn around and look behind us and there we see Tigger holding the bird and we're like, oh, no. And we know exactly what's going on. So everything that Ellen just explained is what happened, yes. But the only thing he had in his pocket was something equivalent to $20. And so he gives the guy money, and I'm like, no. And then the guy holds out his hand, and Tigger hands him his phone because the guy's going to take a picture of him with the bird. And I'm thinking to myself, that guy is going to take that phone, and he's going to turn around and run for the hills, and that bird's going to fly after him, and that is going to be the last we see of Tigger's phone. Thankfully, that's not what happened. But Tigger comes up to us. He's pretty sheepish, and I'm like, tell me you did not just hand that guy a bunch of money. And in fact, he did.
He gave him his souvenir money. That was his souvenir, is the photo with the bird.
That's right. And he said, and I quote, worth it.
Which I'm glad.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times he's looked at that photo since.
I don't know. But when he does look back at it, he will think, oh, that was so much fun.
Well, now he has a whole story around
That's right.
how we belittled him for the rest of the trip for touching that bird and almost dying.
Yes. You know, one of the stories I really wanted to tell you, and I'm going to before we wrap this thing up, it's the story of when I was traveling with Tigger. And he was 8 months old. So Lane and I...
That's a good age.
That is a good age because they can't crawl yet. They can't get away from you. They're really docile and mm-hmm. happy and easy to deal with.
It's a great age.
And so we decided that was a good time to take him to Italy.
Maybe, oh, the memories.
Maybe not Italy. Yeah. Right?
Well, that's ironic because we took Shy Guy to... Holland at that age.
Well,
8 months.
And, you know, I will say the jet lag was a real drag. We were up in the middle of the night for probably four nights. Oof. Playing for hours. And I just, oh, it was hard.
God,
it was really hard.
Playing with my kids when I'm tired.
Anyway, so we are in Italy. He, of course, learns how to crawl when he's there in the palace of Florence.
Oh, man.
I know, right? I took him because he couldn't move, and now he's learned how to crawl. It was a real drag. And so he learns how to crawl, and then he starts to cut a tooth.
Oh.
And we're just about to leave. We're driving to the airport, and he starts getting fussy. And it's his first tooth, and it's my first kid. So I don't really know what's going on. We get to the airport, and by the time that we've checked in and gone through security, actually, I don't think they had real security then. This was pre-9/11. He's screaming. And so we get on the plane. I'm the lady with the screaming baby. I'm in a full body sweat. I cannot even believe it. And we have so much shit. I can't fit it everywhere. And so we finally get it all stuffed in, and we are tucked into our seats, and he's screaming. I'm holding him. I'm rocking him. I'm bouncing him. I want to get up, but I can't because they won't let me. And all of a sudden, they make the announcement. There's a bomb scare.
What?
Yep.
I don't know this story.
Bomb threat right there.
Right in the Bombcast studio?
Right in the Bombcast studio. So we're on an Italian plane. I've got my 8-month-old. He is screaming in my face. He is snotty
and this
teary.
Is like 1998, so we're getting close to...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I completely just melt down. And I get off the plane, and we, you know, schlep all of our stuff off the plane. And I go, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and I open his mouth, and I see that he's got... a little tooth that's starting to peek through. And so it makes sense to me.
You need some scotch.
And then I notice the second tooth.
Two?
And then I stick my finger in there, and he's got two on the top and two on the bottom that are all coming through
Tigger.
At the same time. And he is screaming.
Yeah.
And this old Italian man sitting next to me starts talking at me in Italian, and I don't speak it. And I'm like, my baby is having a meltdown here. And finally, I think he goes over and gets a little bottle of whiskey.
Brilliant.
And he says, you know, on your gums. Now, I'm the one who is...
You're the uptight 1990.
Oh, I'm so uptight.
Mom.
I am so uptight.
Overalls were just in a knot.
They were.
Your really light blue overalls were in a knot.
Excuse me, sir. I have to go grill my organic goddamn vegetables, and then I have to hand grind them for my baby. Get that whiskey out of my face. And so he will not stop screaming. And finally, I literally...
Give me the whiskey.
Give me the whiskey. And I take it.
A little bit for Tigger and a little bit for Mommy.
I put it on my finger and I rub it on his gums, and he immediately stopped crying. The bomb-sniffing dogs came by. We cleared. We passed the test.
And they all lived happily ever after.
And they
put
us back on the plane, and we flew home. Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It was. It was a poor kid. Oh, God. Oh, poor mom. If you are that mom on the plane, just so you know, when that asshat sitting next to you says, can you do anything about that baby? You just say, you know what Bonnie from I Shouldn't Have Had Kids said? She said that I should tell you, fuck the fuck off.
Yeah.
Actually, don't let them give you any hell.
No. Or you could really deliver a blow and you could say, yes, there is something I can do. And actually, when I get back home, I'm putting it up for adoption. And just leave it at that and let them sit. What do you mean? Is there anything I can do? It's a baby.
Jesus.
That's the one area where I have a lot of empathy.
Oh, yeah.
Crying babies on airplanes.
I always have empathy.
You know, that is so difficult. The last thing that parent needs is your stink eye. To think that a parent isn't giving it the pacifier or giving it the bottle or checking the diaper.
Yeah.
Get real.
Yeah.
Of course we are. Because that is the worst thing in the world is when you are the parent with the baby screaming. Yes, we are trying everything we possibly can.
But wait,
you're right. Fuck off.
really, at the end of the day, if you look underneath all these stories and all this sometimes snideness, we love traveling with our kids, and they're great travelers.
Yeah, they are really good travelers, and that's another great skill to teach them, because we've got one going to school real far away, and he needs to take an airplane, and he just owns it like a boss.
Yeah,
he checks his bag, and he gets on the plane, and he deals with his shit, and he gets his Uber or Lyft or whatever afterwards, and he's 19 years old, and that is such great peace of mind, and that's because we taught him how to do that, you know, in the real world. So that's really great. But I also think that if you add up all the toys you've ever bought your kids and all the stuff, you know, it probably does equal a pretty cool vacation. And I think that experiences and those memories are way more valuable than the toys they tire of.
I bet the kids would say the same thing. We'll have to ask them. Although, you know, they did like their laptop a lot.
Well, there's limits.
Yeah, that's
I'm not going to give you back any of my electronic toys either. So,
all right, that's it for us this week. We'll be back with you next Tuesday.
Back.
I'm
we'll
so
be
excited.
Back with you on Tuesday.
Until then, goodbye.
See ya.